Genesis chapter 20. I want to read several scriptures to you tonight. The message is about God's servants, the prophets. Lord willing, I'll be speaking to you about God's servants this month. And after this general introduction tonight, understand this is a general introduction teaching you very things about the prophets. Then, Lord willing, I shall pick out instances of specific prophets, God's servant, delivering a message. So, let's read several passages. Genesis chapter 20, first of all. Chapter 20, and look at verse 7. Now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. I read this reference for two reasons. We know of Abraham, the father of the faithful, but God tells us that Abraham is a prophet, and he can pray for those who need prayer. That's the first thing. Now, the second thing is to be found in the New Testament, but for the sake of time, I will quote it to you. It says in Jude 14 that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. All right, now, let us look at 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel 9. 1 Samuel 9, and look at verse 9. 1 Samuel 9, verse 9. It says, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he said, come, and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Now, turn back to Exodus. Turn back to the book of Exodus. Another reference. A remarkable passage. Look at chapter 4 and verse 7 verse 1, and then the others I'll read to you and start speaking. Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. That's a strange scripture, isn't it? Moses is going to be as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron his brother shall be Moses' prophet. Now, let me read one other scripture, and then we'll pray and we'll get into the portion. Turn to 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36. And if we need to find other verses, we'll look at them later. But right now, first of all, 2 Chronicles 36. And look at verse 15. And the Lord, the God of their fathers, sent to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending because he had compassion on his people, and on his dwelling place, that they mock the messengers of God, and despise his words, and scoff at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. And another reference in chapter 24, verse 18. And they forsook the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their guiltiness. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful for the way that thou hast, since the creation of man, thou hast communicated with man. We recall that at the first, before sin entered, you spoke directly to man. Thou hast told us also, our God, that man having sinned, you spoke unto Israel through your prophet. And thou hast told us that having spoken unto the fathers in the prophet, thou hast in these last days spoken unto us in your Son. We rejoice, our God, at whatever communication thou dost impart to us. We know that every word is true. The words that thou didst speak in the garden are no more true than the inspired prophet whose mouth, whose tongue thou didst control by thy Spirit. And we know, our Father, as thy Son said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And so we thank you, Father, for the way that thou hast communicated with man from the beginning. We pray that we shall understand this, that we shall not scorn, our Father, thy servant, the prophet, saying, if God were to speak, or if Jesus were to speak, but let us understand that thou dost speak through thy servant, the prophets. We desire to be blessed. We desire to hear thy voice this night. So, our God, hear us, we pray, and work upon the hearts of those who are listening, and empower the lips of him who speaks, and we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse that thou hast promised in thy word, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There were so many passages that I wanted to read to you. If this were a Bible study, that is what we would do. Sit down and open them one by one. But what I shall attempt to do in the time that we have is to, in a general way, tell you from the scriptures we've read, and then about other scriptures associated with them, about God's servants, the prophets. Well, there's no doubt that in the scriptures that I read to you, there were inspired prophets. I read you in Chronicles, where it said that God sent his servants, the prophets, to them. He sent them rising up early. He pleaded with them. They paid no attention to his servants, the prophets. And in Hebrews it says, God, having of old time, in various ways and in different manners, spoken unto the fathers in the prophets. So God himself tells us that he spoke in the prophets. And David said that the Spirit of God was in my tongue. Understand that when the prophet spoke, it was God speaking. And the Holy Scriptures at times are spoken of as the prophecy of Jeremiah, the prophet, or it will say, as God said, and will give us a prophecy spoken by one of these prophets in the Old Testament. That is the estimate that God has upon the prophetical utterances of his servants. And yet man would look at these in the Old Testament as some today look at the inspired New Testament. And if a person like Paul makes a statement, they say, those are Paul's ideas. We are not held responsible to believe what he said. Whereas they overlook this scripture in 1 Corinthians 14. Paul said, if any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge. Let him acknowledge that the things which I speak unto you are the commandment of the Lord. So, Paul says, what I say is the commandment of the Lord. And there was no such thing as saying in the Old Testament, why, you are just a prophet. I'm not listening to you. Now, if God spoke to me as God spoke to Adam, as God spoke to Abraham, I would listen, but you are nothing but a prophet. God says, no. He says, I sent my servants the prophets, and they would not hearken unto them, and I held them as responsible as if I had spoken to them personally. Now let me ask you this. When God spoke of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil with his own lips to our parents, and they disobeyed God, did judgment fall? You say yes. When God spoke unto his nation of Israel through his servants, the prophets, and they disobeyed, did judgment fall? You say it did. Then, whether God speaks directly or whether God speaks indirectly through his servants, the prophets, all of those who hear are held responsible. This is what God would have us to understand. And so for that reason, and this is what I have found, that God speaks in ways that you would never suspect. That is why I try, if one is speaking who is not gifted, you never know when God will speak. There may be some scripture that he brings to your attention, but God is able to speak by simply bringing a verse of the Word of God to your attention, and the man's message for 30 minutes may be empty, may be of no consequence, but then he may quote a portion from the Word of God, and you say, why, yes. I remember one congregation saying this. We had an old man that preached to us, and he would forget what he was going to say, but when he did forget, he would start quoting the Psalms. He had memorized so many Psalms. And he said, his messages weren't much. He said, but those Psalms that he quoted proved to be a great blessing to me. So do not think, well, if I have no gift, what I'll do is just get up and quote Psalms. That is not it. The Lord has given his gift. And one of the gifts that God has given is that of the prophet. It says in Ephesians 4, when our Savior ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministering unto the building up of the body of Christ. So God in the Old Testament gave prophets, and God in the New Testament gave prophets. And the only question that remains is this. Are there any prophets today? I was listening as a conversation was going on between a preacher in the denomination and his congregation, and he was asking the question, do we have prophets today as they had in the New Testament? Because you do not have to look far before you'll find people saying, I am a prophet. You'll find that the Mormon church says, we have apostles and we have prophets, just as they had in the New Testament. And go to a charismatic group and they will say, I am a prophet. And they will prophesy and they will speak in tongues. And so he was asking the question because it is a difficult thing to speak to a person that you hope to be sincere, to tell him that he is a liar. And yet, among the true prophets of God, the Apostle Paul said he was in peril among false prophets. And after a great discussion as to prophets, and whether there were prophets today, I ask this question. Why, in the past, especially in the New Testament, did God give this gift of prophecy? It was for this reason. It was to make known the mind of God, and understand that that is what a prophet does. He makes known the mind of God. God's mind for today, for tomorrow, for 1,000 years in the future. A prophet is simply one that makes known the mind of God. And the reason that Christ in Ephesians 4 gave prophets at the first was to make his mind known. And it was essential that we have these inspired prophets at the first to answer questions that have not as yet been recorded in the Holy Scripture. For instance, in Ephesians 4, we read of the prophet, and such a prophet was needed in the case of 1 Thessalonians 4. Why? Here are some who had been preached to by Paul, who had been told about the coming of Christ and the establishing of his kingdom, but during that interval, when they had heard of the promise of the return of Christ, some of their loved ones had died. And what they wanted to know was, those loved ones of ours who have died, if Christ comes, will he establish his kingdom, and will they miss out on the blessings of the kingdom? Now, you and I may turn to 1 Thessalonians 4 to answer that question. At the same time, there were those in Corinth who said there is no resurrection of the dead. There were those who challenged and said, why, what manner of body is this resurrection body that you're talking about? And you and I can turn 1 Corinthians 15 now and 1 Thessalonians 4, but then there were no Thessalonians and Corinthians. And so for that reason, the Apostle Paul, when that question was put to him, said, behold, I say unto you by the word of the Lord. And then he said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment of the twinkling of an eye in 1 Corinthians 15. And he said this in 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those that had lost loved ones, if Christ had come, though they had died before Christ came, this inspired apostle, this prophet, gives them the mind of God and said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Therefore, the prophet was absolutely essential because there was not an Old Testament scripture that they could turn to concerning these details about salvation that came in its fullness in Christ. And therefore, they needed the prophets. All right. Answer me this. Give me one doctrinal question that you need answered that cannot be found in the full, revealed Word of God that we have today. You say, when is Christ coming? If the Lord had wanted you to know when Christ was coming, he would have put it in his Word. But he did not put it in his Word. And God, by control of the Spirit, has placed in his Word what he wants there, and he has kept out of his Word what he does not want there. And the error of man is this. It is like Saul, evil King Saul, who, when God stopped speaking to him, he was prepared to go to a witch, to a necromancer, and find out what was going to happen in the future. I tell you, if God is not revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures what is going to happen in the future, he does not want you to go to today's prognosticators, the astrologers, all of those who profess to be prophets of God, and they can tell you things that are not in his inspired word. I tell you that there are some things that God does not want us to know. But I assure you this, that all that God wants us to know, every problem that can confront a child of God, every question that can arise concerning how I should live today and what is going to happen to me tomorrow, all of these questions arose during the first 100 years of this century. And God, by his Spirit, recorded the answer to them all. And so for that reason, in the early times, before the New Testament scriptures were written, it of necessity must have, in the presence of the people of God, these inspired prophets. Why? So that when we wanted to know about 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul could tell about 1 Thessalonians 4. And when we wanted to know about the Antichrist, the lake of fire, the great white throne, when we wanted to know about all of those things, God had John, his beloved writer, in the book of Revelation. But now, everything that God wants us to know about today, tomorrow, the life to come, has been recorded in this book. And so for that reason, there is no need of a prophet as they had in New Testament times, because every need that arose, God answered it with a prophet. And so, today do we have prophets? Yes. And I tell you that in that sense, I am a prophet. You say, what do you mean? Are you speaking infallibly? I know better than that, and you know better than that. But suppose the question comes to your mind. My loved one has died, and if Christ comes while they are dead, will they miss out on the kingdom? I, as a prophet of God, will say, no. 1 Thessalonians 4. If you say, well, I wonder how the resurrection body shall be, I, as a prophet, will say, 1 Corinthians 15. And therefore, are there prophets today? Yes, in this sense. Prophets who know what God has said through his inspired prophets and what they have recorded in the New Testament. Therefore, those are the prophets today, not those infallible prophets like Agabus, who came and spoke in Acts chapter 11 and told about a famine, not an inspired prophet like the Apostle Paul, who told about the rapture and the resurrection body, not an inspired prophet like John the Beloved, who tells us in the book of Revelation the things that shall be hereafter. No prophet exists like that today. And if one comes and tells you he is, then what you have to do is this. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, despise not prophesying prophecies. It says, hold fast that which is good. And I promise you this, that if a question arises that God has not already answered in this book, and it needs answering, yes, God will raise up an inspired prophet and give you that answer. But I have never found any such question that arises. And I've listened to those who said they have spoken in tongues, and I have examined some who pretend to be prophets. And the strange thing is this, that those who were supposed to be prophets would come and sit under my ministry and try to learn what I knew about the Word of God. I said, this is a remarkable thing. You have direct touch with God, you are a prophet, and you are coming to listen to me. Another man that was among the charismatics, I went to ask him questions, but for an hour I sat down and he asked me questions. Don't you see the contradiction? So I was a prophet. Why? Because I made known to him the mind of God. I told him what God wanted us to know about how we should live today, about how things were going to be tomorrow. I made known those things to him from the Word of God. And so for that reason, we have in Hebrew 5 that which is similar to what we have in 1 Corinthians 12. It says in 1 Corinthians 12 that among the gifts that are distributed to his church, we have the gift of discernment, the gift of discernment, the discerning of spirits. That was a miraculous gift. And therefore, if someone had that gift of discernment, and a man stood up and pretended to be a prophet and spoke, the man who had that gift would say, false, you're a false prophet. He would know it because he had been divinely gifted with that gift of discernment. But in Hebrews 5, it speaks about those who by reason of time should be teachers. It actually turned out that when they should be eating meat, they had need of milk. And it said, meat is for those who are full grown. even those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Now understand that. By reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. The same word. You have the gift of discernment that is miraculously given in 1 Corinthians 12. And you have the gift of discernment that is acquired by reason of use. And therefore, if a man were standing and saying, I am a prophet, thus saith the Lord, and he spoke that which was in contradiction to the word of God, I would say, false, because by reason of use I have my mind exercised. The scriptures are hidden in the heart. And the man that was inspired, that had that gift of discernment miraculously, would say, false. He would know it because he had that gift. In addition, you may know the scriptures as well. But those who know by reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern good and evil, then that is the way that they are prophets of God. Why? Because they know what the Lord says concerning the dead in Christ. They know what God says about the law and grace. They know what God says about the great tribulation period. And for that reason, they make known the mind of God for tomorrow. And just as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, if you came to me and said, do you know the will of God for my life? Yes, I know the will of God for your life. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, that each one of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. That's the will of God. You say, yes. Well, can you tell me, and some young fellow says, there are three young ladies that are Christians. Can you tell me which one I'm to marry? No, I cannot tell you which one you are to marry. But I can tell you that you're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But if you have three that are equally good, you have to go in the presence of God and ascertain that for yourself. So understand that a prophet in the Old Testament was one who made known the mind of God for today, for tomorrow, for 1,000 years in the future. In the New Testament, they did the same thing, and today a prophet does the same thing. How does he do it? This way. In 1 Corinthians 14, it speaks about he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. But it says he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification and exhortation and consolation. And in Acts 15, it adds confirmation. So, a prophet is one who knows the portion of God's word that is needful for the day. It's like this. I have confessed when I was confronted with one who was addicted to drugs that I did not know how to deal with those persons. Therefore, I sought help. But if one comes and asks something of the Word of God, I trust that God has told me. There are some things that those know from the Scriptures, and there are others who know because of their association and because of their dealings with these people. However, if their treatment of those that are addicted to drugs is contrary to the Word of God, telling us to use means that are contrary to the Word of God, I would say that is false. So understand that God tells us in His Word that there are prophets today, but the prophet in this sense, that he knows what God has told through the prophets of old, and he brings it to your attention. And I trust that perhaps there might be that gift of discernment as well. You remember the Lord Jesus is spoken of as knowing how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. If you sent me to that Ethiopian eunuch who was reading Isaiah 53, and he said, of whom speak the prophet this, himself or another? I could say, I'll tell you the answer to that question. But there are other things, if you are confronted with them, you do not know. So remember, a prophet is one who makes known the mind of God. And the prophets today I take to be those that know where to find what God has spoken through his prophets of old. Alright, I tell you that, and I mention, since this is an introductory message, some things about these prophets, And you can tell the great whether a man is a prophet by the threefold test. I review it because I told you, and it is an infallible test that God gives, and those who were prophets of God were willing to stand by that test, determining whether they were God's prophets or not God's prophets. Just remember these scriptures for the sake of time. Deuteronomy 18, Deuteronomy 13, and Matthew chapter 7. The Israelites were wondering at first because they had been in Egypt so long among that false religion. And so they said, well, if a man comes and says he is a prophet, how shall we know whether he is a prophet or whether he is not a prophet? God said, the answer to that is elementary. He said, if he tells you something that is going to happen, and it does not come to pass, that man is not a prophet. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. You say, well, that's the most elementary test. Anybody would know that. I say, you are wrong. As I go out the checkout counter, I see these little papers that say, Gene Dixon prophesies concerning the coming year. And then later on, after the year has passed, she says, why, out of my 24 predictions, 6 of them came true. And 6 of them were almost true. I missed 12 of them. She is eliminated. No prophet of God has ever told anything that did not come true. And I will give you an example. Micaiah. When Ahab wanted to know with the king of Judah, should we go out to battle? The other prophets said, now listen, all the prophets associated with Ahab have told him to go to battle. Everything will be victorious. Now you tell him the same thing. And so when Micaiah came and said, yes, go out, you'll be victorious. And Ahab said, I told you not to tell lies to me. Now tell me, what is the word of the Lord? Micaiah said, do you go out, you will be destroyed in grief. And Ahab said, I told you he wouldn't prophesy good to me. Take this man and put him in prison and feed him with the bread of water and with the water of affliction, the bread of affliction and the water of affliction until I return in peace. Micaiah said, if you return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. Now that is the prophet of God. Never did they make a mistake. Whenever they spoke, it was the word of God. And you will find out that Ahab went out to battle, and it was to his destruction, just as the prophet said. And so for that reason, all of us who say, right, these people, they have power to tell us of the future. God said, if they have ever spoken and it did not come true, they are not prophets, you shall not be afraid of them. But now, it becomes a little more subtle, second time. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 13, it says, if someone prophesy and tell you things that are going to come to pass, do a wonder before you, and these things occur, and then he says to you, let us go and serve false gods. Let us worship idols. God says, believe him not. Follow him not. He said, I am using this man to put you to the test to see whether or not you love me. So you say, well, that's the subtle test. Some prophets say things, and they do not come to pass. They are to be eliminated. But some prophets say things, and they do come to pass. Well, then, they must be prophets of God. God said, absolutely not. He said, I am able then to tell what is going to come to pass. He said, but listen to what they say after what they have prophesied has come to pass. And if they say, now, let us go and worship false gods. God said, I am putting you to the test to see if you are going to listen to them and love them and follow them, or if you are going to follow me. And therefore, if a prophet today tells you something, and then what he tells you comes to pass, that all of his doctrine is contrary to the word of God, it is God allowing that man to tell you something that is going to come to pass to put you to the test to see whether you will follow his scriptures or whether you will look at some miracle that has occurred, and then you say, oh, this man must be true. I'm closing my mind to what the Bible says. The Lord says, I'm putting you to the test. So, the second test is this. The first test is, did it come to pass? No. Eliminated. Did it come to pass? Yes. Well, when it did come to pass, did that man tell you to follow God according to all that's written in His Word? Or did He tell you to do things contrary to the Word of God? Well, He told me to do things contrary to the Word of God. He is a false prophet, even though what He said came to pass. It's God putting you to the test. You say, well, what is the prayer? It's this. In Matthew 7, the Lord Jesus said, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not do many marvelous works in thy name? And the Lord shall say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Notice, they claim to be prophets and to be miracle workers. And the Lord said, you workers of iniquity. And therefore, it is the morality of the man that speaks the prophecy as well. I see. Then when he speaks, it has to come true. Yes. Having come true, he has to teach you faithfully the teachings of the Word of God. Yes. And the man has to be above reproach morally. Yes. And therefore, if a man comes and he says, I am a prophet of God today, and what he says comes to pass, and he adheres completely to the Word of God, and his life is above reproach, I will acknowledge you are a prophet. It is a test that God has given. And if the man passes that threefold test, he is a prophet of God. But I've never found a man that can pass that threefold test today. But that is the prophet test that God gives. Now, I'll tell you why. Here is Judas Iscariot. You will find out that when the Savior set forth the 12, that Judas was empowered by God to perform the miracles as well as others. And yet, it says in John 6, have I not chosen you the 12, and one of you is a devil? Even though Judas Iscariot was not a believer, even though he was not a born-again child of God, he was empowered by God. Think now, here are the apostles sent forth to do miracles, and Judas never is able to do miracles. Never is a, you say, why, it would be evident that he would be false. But God empowered him. But look at his life. He was a thief, and he stole what was in the bag, and he was deceitful, and he said to the Lord in the last chapter, he said, Lord, is it I who shall betray you? And so you look at that man, and even though he had performed miracles, that man would not teach you accurately the things concerning the Word of God, because he wanted a kingdom that was of this world, and he wanted the things of the flesh. He was filled with covetousness. He was a thief, and therefore he would be eliminated. And so understand this, that God from the beginning has had prophets, true prophets. And whenever you have true prophets, there will arise false prophets. And what God does is to tell us to put them to the test. And God has had prophets from the beginning. Just this. The first recorded prophet is Abraham. But the first prophet that we learn of many, many years after Abraham was Enoch, the seventh from Adam. And it said that he prophesied concerning the Lord. Behold, the Lord cometh to 10,000 of his saints to render judgment upon the ungodly. And so you say, then, God has had his prophets, God has had his mouthpieces from the beginning. And that is true. And God shall have his prophets until the end. And whenever his prophets are not present, then we turn to his word. We learn from precedents and examples he has given there. And there are those with discernment today that can point out what is relevant and what is not. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that whereas we would have delighted without sin, to hear your voice speaking to us in the garden in the cool of the day, we have not been granted that. As Abraham, we would have rejoiced to hear your voice. As Moses, but our God, who has not heard thy voice, we have heard what you have said to Abraham, and we have heard what you have said to Moses. And we thank you for the precious words spoken by your Son. So our God, as much as in us lies today. We pray that the gift of prophecy, being able to discern what you have said in your infallible word, is relevant to us today. To our God, let us not be led astray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And let us, O God, listen to those who are truly your prophets, and turn away and eschew the evil of those that say you are prophets and they are not. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.